How many moments of your life do you get to remember? I just picked one. I'm Shannon Hayes, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 5 of The Hearth of Sepwish Hollow.
It was a cold, wild winter. You were sleeping on my shoulder. I was praying that the raging storm would stay a little longer. With your feet up on the dashboard of my summer dreaming westward, I was hoping that we'd wake up to the softest of spring mornings humming.
Welcome to the Hearth of Sepwish Hollow, chronicles and lessons from a life tied to family, community, and the land. I'm Shannon Hayes, and I operate Sepwish Hollow Farm with three generations of my family in the northern Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. I'm the chef owner of Sepwish Cafe, a farm-to-table and neighbor-to-neighbor experience open Saturdays 9 to 2 from April through November in our tiny hamlet of West Fulton. And I'm also the author of a few books, including Radical Homemakers, The Grass-Fed Gourmet, and Redefining Rich. Think over your life, Chavi said, a Marlboro perched between two fingers of one hand, while the other used a demitasse spoon to stir so many sugars into his espresso that it had become a syrup. I sat across from him at a sidewalk cafe in Barcelona, sipping my cappuccino in awe. He had 7 years on me and a couple more continents under his belt. We were both travelers back then. I had taken the money I had saved to buy myself a baritone sax and used it to get to Argentina. From there, my girlfriend and I had traveled to Las Cataratas, Iguazu, where I'd met him. Since that first acquaintance, we had crossed paths on three different continents. "Can you remember each moment of your life?" he asked, the cigarette smoke misting up in front of his face, imbuing him with an air of mystique and wisdom that my 50-year-old self now finds highly suspect. But back then, I pinched my 20-year-old brows together, trying to understand his point. Could I remember each moment of college, each moment of being on the farm with my mom and dad? Admittedly, it was all a blur. But this moment in the cafe, the smell of the espresso, the foam of the cappuccino across my lip, the cigarette, the lost look in his eyes, these things were very clear, very real. This is my point, you see? It is only the travels that stand out. It is only the travels that make the memories. The running of the bulls, Las Cataratas, a camel ride in the desert. In that moment, gazing into his eyes, a part of me was swept up in his wisdom and the glamour of my young adult life, bumming flights around the world, meeting friends, having adventures. The other part of me was most definitely the woman I was becoming. How could someone be that unhappy with their daily life as to only feel alive when they travel? For 3 years, we continued our friendship, a companionship that existed for the adventures, kept alive by letters shipped across the Atlantic. It all ended when I met Bob. The travel seemed a paltry distraction next to the passion that fueled our desire to tackle the great challenges of our lives, building a profitable farm that allowed room for our creative lives, tackling the research for the books I longed to write, raising our daughters, and giving them an education. There was never a single moment in the jungle or under a giant waterfall, or sitting outside a European cafe that measured up to the collection of days that has built this grand adventure with my husband. Chavi vanished from my life without a single bit of regret. But his question didn't, because I cannot remember each moment of my life. Some days I sit in the woods beside Bob, drinking morning coffee, and try to remember yesterday or the day before, let alone 2,700 days that I homeschooled my children, or 264 trips to the farmer's market, or 1,248 Sunday dinners, or the 4,752 breakfasts I've cooked at the cafe thus far, or the 4,360 hours that I've spent so far writing essays and recording podcasts. It's a blur. And now, with our daughters in college, I'm left wondering, how could I have loved it so much, but not be able to remember it? Can you remember each moment of your life? We've tried Chavi's personal remedy, backpacking across Europe, crisscrossing this country by rail, grilling our way across Argentina. It definitely created some memories. But a lot of that gets lost in the wash of time, too. Increasingly, Bob and I find ourselves pondering different excursions and shrugging our shoulders with detachment. Really? Being a tourist in yet another place? It's nice, but it's not all it's cracked up to be. Last year, I took money that we could have used for traveling and used it to buy a Barry Sachs in an effort to recover what I walked away from when I was 18. I invest hours in that horn, practicing scales, using jazz licks to try to strengthen my memory. And just like the homeschooling or the cafe breakfast or the book writing, I don't remember each practice session or each jazz band rehearsal. Instead, some practice sessions are infuriating, but in others, I just disappear into the flow. I can't remember what exactly happened, only that I was transported to another place, unaware of time or of any life problems. And that brings me back to it again and again. I stay up past my 7 p.m. bedtime on Tuesday nights, eager for practice with the SUNY Cobleskill Jazz Ensemble, my only musical outlet with my baritone sax, besides the hours I spend practicing alone here. "Hey," Christina Johnson says 1 week this winter during rehearsal, "let's go play at Chieftain's in the spring." Chieftain's is a bar on Main Street in Cobleskill. I can't imagine how we could cram a 20-piece band in there. Christina is convinced it's doable. I'm convinced it will be a disaster. But spring comes and I show up with my horn and set up in the front row. The room in front of us is completely empty, save for one or two people waiting for us to begin. I figure they must be friends of band members because, let's be honest, that's all whoever shows up for any concert I'm a part of. "Hey," Christina says as she shuffles the charts on the stand in front of her. "Lou says I shouldn't bother conducting. We should just do it." Lou is Christina's partner. He was my best friend in high school, and he went on to become a professional bass player. I'm always amazed that he still finds time to play in this jazz ensemble where he and I used to play as teenagers before I abandoned the Barry and took off for Argentina. "You have to conduct." I look at her wide-eyed. She shrugs and counts us off. We start with Satin Doll. The music spills up to the front of the bar and out onto the street. People start wandering in. Voluntarily. And Christina wanders away from her music stand. She's not there to cue entrances. She's not there to coach dynamics. And I slip into a heightened state of awareness, listening to everyone around me, to what's happening on the bass and back, with the trumpets and the trombones behind me, with the saxes beside me. We find our groove. We're listening to each other, playing as one. But more than that is happening. Folks come in with their drinks and sit down together. There is a communion happening between them and us that I have never experienced as a musician. I hold the bass line with the Barry and look out at the way I see the customers' shoulders relax as their heads begin to sway to the tunes. I feel as though I'm sponging their cares away with the sounds from my horn. I knew other musicians could do this for me. I never knew I could do this for someone else. And I come more and more alive through every tune. Satin Doll, St. Thomas, Don't Know Why, Hay Burner. The soloists take their turns playing out over the room, and it is a thrill to hold up the notes beneath them and to let their own twists and turns wash over me, lifting me, purifying me. And here I am, sitting in a bar in little old Cobleskill, 50 years old, blatting away on a beat-up Barry in a back room with 20 other obscure musicians. And I am as alive and aware as I was beneath the falls of Iwazu, as I was walking the streets of Venice, exploring the Algarve, dining on fish from a food truck beside the ocean in Brazil, as I was the moment I sat in that cafe sipping a cappuccino as my fellow traveler leaned across the table and asked, "Can you remember each moment of your life?" Maybe not. But this... I will remember. Sapbush Cafe is now open for the season, and it has a new home on the web. You can find it at sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. There you can check out our menu, see the weekly prefix special, and learn more about us. We look forward to serving you every Saturday from 9 to 2 through the last Saturday before Thanksgiving. And we have been glad to hear folks' enthusiasm for the new EV chargers in the cafe and Honor Store parking lot. Apparently, we still have a few more weeks to go before the utility company approves and activates them, so please be patient. Very soon, if you come to the cafe, or if you want to visit the Honor Store, or you want to have a picnic out by the creek, or you want to stay in the Airbnbs or take a hike in the area, you will have a place to charge your electric vehicle. In other news, Sapbush is now shipping our meats. For $150 flat fee, we will ship throughout the Northeast. So, the more you order, the more you save. But if you live outside the Northeast, it is better for everyone, including the planet, if you can find a local farmer in your own neck of the woods. For folks who would like to be able to recognize greater savings buying our wholes and halves and quarter animals, but who lack the freezer space, we also have a meat subscription program where the cuts are picked up or delivered to your door each month, and only on those months when you want them, so it does not interfere with your vacation and travel plans. Read more about it at sapbushfarmstore.com/meat-by-month. Our online website is stocked with our eggs, wool blankets and comforters, and wool yarn. But if you're in the area, feel free to drop by the Honor Store any time of the day or night, located in the little red shed at the back of the cafe parking lot. The address is 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York. And woohoo! Pretty soon, you'll even be able to charge your car there. If you'd like to come see us for a getaway, our farm-to-table retreat on Panther Creek and Tibbetts House across the street are both taking bookings through Airbnb. If you want to subscribe to the digital newsletter to stay on top of cafe and farm specials, farm happenings, or follow my musings on the blog when the podcast goes silent in the fall and winter and get Ula's hand-drawn postcards in the mail and receive our CSA flyers, send me an email with your contact info at shannon@sapbush.com. If you enjoyed this, please take a few minutes to leave a review. It helps other folks to find my work, especially since I don't do social media. And please share this podcast with friends and family to get the ideas to spread. Better still, you can help make the magic happen for as little as $1 a month by hopping over to Patreon and looking up Shannon Hayes. Or, if it's easier, you can also donate to support the podcast by sending a check payable to Shannon Hayes, care of Sapbush Hollow Farm, 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York, 12194. And that's a really important thing to do because all of this, the podcast, the blog, the books, and the creative recharging that happens over fall and winter are a result of the support of my patrons on Patreon. And this week, I'd like to send a shout out to my patrons, Victoria Sheldon and Barbara Andrus. Thank you, folks. I could not do it without you. In case you were wondering, this podcast was produced and edited by the sexiest man alive, my husband Bob Hooper, And the great music we're listening to comes to us from Emery. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Try to remember it all.
Now the birds are singing about all the things they've seen over in the other countries, sowing seeds and reaping dreams, and I think that